label and write pastor on it. And you mash that button up, and then you got it every time. It's real easy, isn't it? Say, the Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Say, I serve a merciful God. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we will begin talking about continuing our study on the subject of spirit, soul, and body, and primarily dealing with the development of the recreated human spirit. How to train him, how to educate him, how to develop him, how to put him in a position where he's in charge. He's running the show. Not your body, not your mind. Your body and your mind is not perfect. Your spirit man is. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5. Now, you people that are in the school, remember, next Wednesday night, you'll have a test on spirit, soul, and body. Every test will be 20 questions. They'll be either fill in the blank, multiple choice, or true and false. And that doesn't mean that you're going to come one night and they'll all be true and false. It doesn't mean that it won't be. Just liable to be whatever we decide. Then on Saturday, you'll have another test the following Saturday. This Saturday, no. But you take three classes and then you have a test. We don't have a final test over 6 weeks. We just go every three. We take a test. That way we know what you're learning, what you're comprehending. Get some insight into that. Amen. So is everybody at 1 Thessalonians 5? All right. This is Paul writing to us, the church. This is God speaking to us. And the very God of peace, this is a prayer here. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And notice that's W-H-O-L-L-Y, all one peace, holy. And I pray God, he clarifies it here, and I pray God your whole spirit, and you might say your whole soul, and your whole body, all of your body, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it, if you will cooperate with him. If you'll cooperate with him, he'll sanctify you in your spirit, sanctify you in your soul, and sanctify you in your body. What does sanctify mean? Be taken out of a state of being common and unclean and put into a state corresponding to the nature of God. In your spirit, in your soul. If it's in your soul, then you're going to think God's thoughts. If you're going to be sanctified in a state corresponding to the nature of God, your mind is going to think God's thoughts. And then in your body, then that means that you're going to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto him. Are you listening to me? And he said, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, on this side of the return of Christ, he'll do it. Praise the Lord. Now, we started talking last week about the development of the recreated human spirit, and we found out from the Word, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. And remember that this new creation was just like in the beginning. There was no prior substance. It was just from the inside of God, the heart of God, the faith of God, what was inside of him. He didn't have another man to go get and make him. He just made him from the inside, just like he created the heavens and the earth. And when Jesus was born again, that same thing happened. So we were created after that pattern. Our spirit man is a new creation once he's born again. Right? Amen. And he has within him creative ability because he has the life and the nature, which is the ability of God. So there's creative ability within the man's spirit. Not in your body, no. Now, there are some things about the mind and the soul. We'll talk about those later. But your body does not have creative ability. Your body is nothing more than a vessel for your spirit. It is a piece of meat with bones in it. It has, now listen, your body has no mind. It has no creative ability. It has no nature of its own. Well, I beg to differ. No. Your body only will do what it's told to do or has been trained to do. Or has and been trained so it's now formed habits. All right, now I want everybody in here to stand up. Sit down. Okay, now let's see. Now I want you to sit there, and I want your body to stand up on its own. Can't do it, can it? Can only do what it's told to do. Only do what it's trained to do. So all the more reason your body should never rule. It's not equipped to rule. It's not equipped to rule this planet. It's not equipped to rule the natural realm. It wasn't made. All it was made to do was be a house for your spirit, to house a vehicle for your spirit to move about. Amen. I'm getting ahead of myself, but if I say it again, it'll be good the next time I say it, right? Now, Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we," talking about the spirit of man, "we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." Now, what does that mean? Same pattern, same mold. Talking about the spirit of man, not talking about the body of man, even though the body is the image of God. He's talking about the inner man. He's talking about the hidden man of the heart, Scripture referred to. And then in 2 Corinthians 4:16, which we refer to so often, "For though our outward man," that's our body, "perish," so there's a law of aging, decaying in it, "yet our inward man is renewed by day." Your inward man is renewed, gets younger every day. Don't understand that, but he does, and gets stronger every day. Amen. Getting younger every day, getting stronger every day. And he doesn't break apart. He doesn't come apart. He can stand the test of anything that comes to him. Amen. All right? So man has spent the vast majority of his time, actually, if you look at the whole world, if you just consider the world, they spend all their time and vast amounts of money, humpteen millions of dollars, billions of dollars developing the body of man, and humpteen millions of dollars trying to develop the spirit of man so they can rule this place like they ought to, and they failed every single time. We had some people in the Bible that lived 900 years and they never did do it. Did they? But, and yet, it's more important that you spend time developing the spirit of man, yet they don't spend any time doing that. Because for the most part, they don't even believe that it's in there. But the Bible teaches us that we can train and develop the spirit man. We can educate him for the purpose of full maturity, that he would reach spiritual adulthood. Now go to Ephesians 4. I got a lot to cover tonight, so I may not make it in an hour, folks. Ephesians chapter 4, because we just got things we got to do for the school and get on along here. But it's all of you being schooled, aren't you? Amen. Ephesians 4 verse 15, look what he says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him." Now, I'm not talking about your body, not talking about your mind. "May grow up into him," he's talking about your spirit, "in all things." Grow up into him, which is the head, even Christ. Then in Hebrews chapter 5, this is one I love to go to, and I believe we went there last week, I'm not sure. But let's all go over there and look at that. You've got your outlines and your test questions that come from there, but just pay attention to me. You know, if you want to make notes, you can. But really, you ought to just get the tape and make your notes later. And listen, that way you miss things with your mind wandering off on something else. Don't be doing that. Now, in Hebrews 5, verse 12, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers." Now, by this time, a period of time, you've been a teacher. Well, you want a teacher when you started, so there should have been some growing process here, some learning process, and you should have grown and developed somehow, right? Huh? That's simple. Just common sense tells you that. "Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God," or the truths of God, "and are become such as have need of milk." You have become such as have need of milk. Well, if you have need of milk, then that means you're a baby. And you don't have need of strong meat, then evidently the reason you don't have need of strong meat is because you have need of milk, then that's because you can't handle the strong meat. You can only take the milk, and you're not even getting milk, because you have come to need it. "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful," everybody say unskillful, "in the word of righteousness," in the things of God, in the New Testament, not in the law. You don't need to be skillful in the law. He didn't say you wasn't skillful in history. He didn't say you wasn't skillful and you could quote the books of the Bible, or you could tell how many chapters in every one of them, or you knew history, or you knew science or something. He's talking about unskillful, because just those that have come to need milk, if you come to need milk or your own milk, you're unskillful. You're a baby. Huh? In the word of righteousness, for he's a babe, but strong meat. Oh my, everybody say strong meat. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Now you're talking about maturity, aren't you? Let's see, I got a footnote on that in my cross reference. It says of perfection. How about that? So that would be growing full age. Now look at this. This is awesome here. This is awesome. Even those who become full age, who by reason of use or habit, there are some good habits, habit have their, and it says senses, doesn't it? Well, right over that body. And you're talking about the same thing. All right? Even those who by reason of use, using it, doing it, over and over and over and over and over, doing something, have their body exercised to where their body discerns both good and evil. Now that is awesome, isn't it? Now, the Bible explains the difference between a baby and an adult. A baby acts like a baby. How are you going to know? Who are the babies in the church? Well, the ones that make the most noise. Ones that cry the loudest. The one that complains the most. Well, we never had it like that where we went. I just don't like all that faith stuff. I just don't want all that maturity stuff. I just want to go to church and just pay my tithes and show up when I feel like it. Rest of the time, stay on the beach. You know why you got to go to the beach? You got to go to the beach. You just got to go to the beach and sun worship. Because you're a baby. Got to go every 2 or 3 weeks, go down there, just get away. About taking a vacation with the Bible. Now, if you go down there to get along with God and the Bible and stay in the hotel room and don't look outside, then that might be all right. I always like to go to it and get on the highest floor I can, overlook the ocean, listen to the waves, and read my Bible, listen to tapes. I could care and hope that it rains. I like it rain at the beach. And all them people put on some clothes. But all them babies got to go to the beach. You might as well say amen and quit looking at me like that. You're a baby. You're a carnal. You're a body ruled. Amen. I can't go to church now because I got to go to the beach. You ought to be back from the beach, you baby. Outfits. And I will not apologize for it. If you squall about it, we know what you are. You cry on me all you want to. You watch babies, they'll spit up. Well, you keep coming to the dinner table, and after a while, you'll be able to hold it down. Amen. He's unskillful. Look at here now. In chapter 5, what did he say here? Verse 13. Everyone that useth milk. See, the Bible's going to tell you who's who now. Who's a baby and who's spiritual. Everyone, and really in the kingdom of God, you shouldn't have but two. What's sad to say is we got three. We got that carnal man stuck in there. He's 20 years old, the Lord. He's still at the beach on the weekend. And he ain't casting out devils and passing out tracts and winning souls to Jesus. I can tell you that right now. Amen. How many did I lose in the school now? Look, he's unskillful in the word of righteousness. You know what that means? He does not know how to use the word as a weapon or as a tool. He's unskillful. You're seeing people on a job, they're unskillful. That's certain things that I can't do. You know, because I'm unskillful at it. I'm not an artist. I took it one time and I made some noble efforts at it, you know, and took some classes. I figured out right away. Some people just had a natural knack about it, a talent about them, an ability. Some people are just born. They just can draw. Just stick something in their hand, they'll make something that looks like you can recognize what it is. Amen. Boy, some of my squirrels look bad, I can tell you that. Look like they'd already been shot. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. We're having fun. I've already said I'd be anointed tonight, so you might as well catch up with me. Now here's the mature man, the full-grown child of God. Here he is. Now, strong meat. Hey, I might as well face. There's some things we just have to face in life, isn't it?
like paying taxes. You might as well face it. You know, as long as we're here, you know, you got to pay taxes. We have to face some things that sooner or later our bodies shall die, but just I decide how it dies. Learn that, right? Through by some strong meat. strong meat belong to them that are what? Of what? Full age. He's mature. They're constantly feeding on the word. But also, now here's something else, see, they have their body trained. They're constantly exercising their senses. They're constantly exercising their senses. What are they trying? Why are they constantly exercising their senses? Because they're trying to form habits. Good habits with their body. Until they have constantly trained exercise for by reason of use, practice. Use exercise. I think some translation, I don't know if the Amplified says exercise or not, but some of them do. And then after a while, see, after a while, their body recognizes what's good and evil. And we're talking about being sanctified holy. We're talking about getting there, man. We're talking about moving a little bit closer to this thing and whatever, and we're talking about on this side. You don't have to exercise your senses when you get to heaven. When you get a glorified body, there won't be no sense ruling about it. It don't ever have to go to the beach. It don't ever have to take a vacation. It's always on vacation. Huh? I use the beach, but yours may be Walmart. I don't know. And so now the body knows what's good and evil by reason of use, practice, and then it's only going to do what it's told to do. And once you get it to where it recognizes good and evil, then it's going to want to do what's right. All right? And then you won't have that war going on that constantly goes on with our flesh and our spirit. Some people think that the body, well, you know, just as long as we're here, you're just going to have to put up with the body. It's spiritually dead. I mean, there's no good in the flesh. Well, what about if you get it to where it recognizes good and evil? You've practiced it and practiced it and practiced it and practiced it long enough to where your body knows. All right, how many of you know that you can get up at a certain time every day, for after about a few days, well, the next thing you know, you don't even set your clock anymore. Your body just, Your body gets up. Well, now when you set, here's other people, see, they never practice their body. It's church time. Your body wants to go to church. Your body wants to go, if it's a habit, if it's in the habit of doing it, it just wants to go to church. See, it'll do what it's told, so if you tell it, no, you can't go, then it won't go. But if you tell it, get up and let's go, it gets up, it obeys, it does what it's told. Or it does what it's in the habit of, what it's been trained to do. Amen. Just certain times. We get our bodies trained to eat 3 meals a day, then come about that certain time, it's ready to eat. But you know, after a while, see, we all need a little help on this, don't we? I mean, you know, our bodies need a little exercise here, a little discipline here, you know. If you're out there in the world, then, you know, your spirit man's going to train it to do the other things. Whatever's illegal, immoral, or fattening. Right? No, your body's not born again, but it can be developed. It can be trained. It can be trained by the Spirit and through the Word. All right, strong meat belong to them that are full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, you know, I just don't think that your body's got to be driving you. There may be a spirit in it when you come to Christ, but you tell it to get out. And then you start training it. And after a while, it'll reject it. And the spirit can't control it anymore. I mean, he'll just leave. You got to go find him another body. Can't use that anymore because he won't do what I tell him. Isn't that good stuff? So he's talking about here two kinds of food because there are two kinds of believers. But even the body can be trained and can be sanctified holy just like the spirit and just like the soul. Amen. And not always just that, we got this evil nature. It's like we're half God. We got the nature of God in our spirit, and we got the nature of the devil in our body. So we're half God and half devil. Now remember, I said the body is not a mind. It does not own a mind. It's only a piece of meat with bones, and it does what it's told. And we've been so busy crucifying the flesh instead of training the flesh. Go over here to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. And I think I'm supposed to read that anyhow. Did I ever read Galatians 5 to you tonight? No. Let's go read it anyhow. And then we'll catch up because I want to get you to verse 24. But let's start here at verse 16. Look what Paul says now. This I say then, walk in the what? Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, let your spirit man rule the roost. After you are born again, you can't do that prior to being born again because he's not a saved God. He'll because he has the nature of the devil then, right? But after you're born again, you have the nature of God, the life of God inside of you. And then I'm telling you, the moment you're born again, he's equipped to run the show. He's equipped and ready to go. All right, then this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And if you don't train it, if you don't develop it, if you don't exercise it and use it in spiritual things and let your spirit train it, then I'm telling you, you're going to have a problem with it.
That's right.
And it's going to win. Because then your soul, and if you're not renewing your mind, your soul and your body are going to gang up on your spirit. Mm-hmm. And you lose. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the, everybody say works of the flesh. Now notice here that he says works of the flesh, but what he says about the Spirit. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, and going to the beach. No, he didn't say that, did he? Playing with you. All right. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things, what things? Yield to the flesh and the lust of the flesh, and which causes all these acts. They which do such things, everybody say, they which do such things,
they which do such things
shall not inherit,
shall not inherit,
the kingdom of God. Is that true?
Yes,
is that a fact?
Yes.
Should I spend my time preaching on it then?
Yes.
No. Because you will become flesh conscious and works conscious and all these other things conscious. So I'll just spend all my time talking about adultery. First thing you know, I got five or six people in the church commit adultery. No, I need to deal over here with the spirit man, get people to center in on the spirit of man. And if they'll center in on him and start making confessions of God's word, what he says about his spirit man, and start yielding to him and know more about him than you do about sin. We know more about our sins than we do about who we are in Christ. I mean, I went to church, all I was taught was sin. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And I went out and did everything I was supposed to. All right, now look here. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now everybody say fruit.
Fruit.
Did you notice he didn't say works of the Spirit?
That's right.
He said fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
So that tells us something right quick. What? That the body can't produce fruit. I told you there's no creative ability in it. It can only do what it's told.
That's right.
There's no creative ability in your body. When you lay hands on the sick, that's not creative ability. That's a transmitter.
Amen.
The power's in your spirit, and you transfer it through your hands, and that's called a law of contact and transmission, right?
Amen.
All right, but the fruit of the Spirit is what?
Love.
The fruit of the Spirit is what?
Love,
joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temper. Y'all don't have to talk no more. Against such there is no law. And here's verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Well, everybody say, oh, now the Bible says we're supposed to crucify. No, he said, they that are Christ. Your flesh has already been crucified.
Yes.
We're spending our time. You just need to crucify the flesh. No, the body, the Bible says, mortify the deeds of the flesh. If you go out and crucify your flesh, then you're not going to have a vehicle for your spirit. That's stupid. That's the old dumbo. Isn't it? Now, I'm sure if you ask them, does that mean if I'm a crucified flesh, then I'm supposed to nail it on the cross or something, kill it or something? You want to kill your body? That's not, you know, they'll say, no, that's not. I'll say, well, explain to me what you mean then about crucifying the flesh. What he's talking about is the deeds of the flesh. In other words, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not perform the deeds of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, if you walk in the Spirit, if you let your spirit man be in charge. I told you right up, your body was never built or made. It does not have the capacity to run things, to rule things. It's never meant to rule over our spirits. Our spirit man is to rule over our bodies, and neither was our mind. You can't pack enough information in your head to run this thing right. Besides, if you pack too much of it, it'll flip out and just come apart on you. It'll snap. You ever hear people's mind snap? So much pressure coming to their mind. So much pressure, worrying, cares, and all these things going. They just snap. Well, then you sure can't trust somebody's mind to rule the show, can you? Because it can snap. You can't trust somebody's body to do it, can you? Because it ain't got a mind of its own. It's just going to operate on habits, what it's told to do. But your spirit won't ever snap. When he's born again, he's equipped to run the show. He's in God's image. He's in God's class. Amen. He was made a ruler. He has creative ability in him. Creative ability in him. He is equipped and ready and ordained by God to run the show. In church, the Bible talks about I am the door to the sheep. Go to John 10. This is a side issue that something just come up. John 10. Look. Verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as the thief and robber. Now, that's the devil. He came another way other than natural birth, didn't he? But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leadeth them. The porter, what's the porter? We think of a porter on an elevator. A doorkeeper, gatekeeper. He opens the door, he lets you in, or he shuts the door and don't let you in. Well, your spirit is to be the porter of your souls and of your body. Why do we have laws in the land for people who can't allow, whose spirit can't... pour to their own, if they can't pour to their own selves, we pour to them. That's the reason there has to be at times discipline in the church. Why? Because you got people who can't pour to their own self. They never spent time feeding on the Word, feeding the spirit man. They never renewed their mind, and they didn't practice spiritual things with their body and discipline their body. And so they're out of control. And we got all kinds of things going in because they didn't pour to their soul and pour to their body. That's the reason I'm the head of my family. I pour to my wife. She can't pour to herself. I pour to her for her. And I pour to my children. As pastor of this church, I pour to this church. You come here, you're fine. As long as you pour to your soul, everything's fine. You don't pour to your soul, I'm going to pour to it for you. Generally, they leave. We know who they are, don't we? It's not the strong meat kind, is it? We're not talking about spiritually mature people, but we're talking about people that listen, who can discipline themselves. Pour to ministry. It's a great ministry. I have a whole series on it. Yeah. You husbands are to pour to your wives. And you wives, you're to obey your husband as unto the Lord. As long as what he's doing is unto the Lord. If it ain't, you tell him to take a long walk on a short pier. It's never right to do a wrong. It's never wrong to do a right. Did y'all hear what I said? It's never right to do a wrong. And it's never wrong to do a right. Holy Ghost said that to me years ago. Years ago, spoke that in me. And I've never forgot it. Where was I? Y'all don't even know, do you? Huh? God, everybody speaking in tongues. Where are we? The body is not a mind. Okay, we done been there. The body's not a mind. Now, what did he say in Hebrews 5? That's where I verse. Let me get Galatians 5. I'm sorry. Let me go back over here. Galatians 5, 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What is Romans 6, 6 and Colossians 3, 5? It all talks about those deeds of the flesh. But what we're talking about here is the deeds of the flesh. That's what we mortify. Let's go to Romans 8. I got it down here, and I don't know why we're going, but let's go over there. It's a good one. Good place to go. Here it is, another one. But if ye live after the flesh, ye shall what? Die. But if ye through the Spirit, here's the key, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And they got a capital S on that word Spirit. It should be a little S. The Holy Spirit is not going to mortify your body, the deeds of your body. That's not his job. That's not what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to do what? What's the Holy Spirit supposed to do? Convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Everything he hears, and he's testified of the Lord Jesus, isn't he? Okay. So if we got a problem with our body, then I think what it means to us is that we need more training. We need to walk more in the Spirit, and we're just unskillful. And why our body's untrained? Because generally, there's no meat going forth. But if you're trained and as to what to do, it will cooperate with your spirit. Our bodies are not equipped to rule. It is only a vehicle for our spirit. Neither is the mind. You cannot educate it enough. You cannot cram enough knowledge in it in order to rule right. Pressure the mind too much and it'll snap. And here's another reason why you can't judge the mind. Because every mind has a will of its own and emotions. And you know good and well that you cannot go by emotions to do things right. A lot of times when our families get in trouble, our emotions get involved. You know, they got this murder case out over there in California, wherever it is, where the lady was beheaded, decapitated, or whatever, and thrown in the sea, and the baby and all this stuff, you know, and all that. And it looks bad, don't it? And for some reason or another, the mom and dad is rising up and in anger because what everybody is doing is because their emotions. They could not judge this thing right, could they? So you cannot trust the mind to rule, nor the body. It has to be the spirit of man. Say amen. Amen. But the spirit man, the reborn man, is equipped from the new birth. He will not break. He knows how to use his computer, which is his mind, and he knows how to use his body. He is a born leader. When he is taught and trained by the Holy Spirit in him. Now go to 2 Corinthians 10 and look at something here. 2 Corinthians 10 verse, let's see what he'll do. Verse 3. For though we, now when he says we, who's he talking about? Spirit. Okay, get that in mind. Anytime he says we, I, you, Paul's always talking about spirit of man. For though we walk in the flesh, our spirit lives in this body. We do not war after the flesh or after the senses, right? For the weapons of our warfare, the Spirit's warfare, are not carnal or fleshly, but they're mighty through God. Now, here's what the Spirit man does, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You ever heard people come against you against the knowledge of God? You tell them what God's Word says? And they just want to fight you, you know that they need some more practice, don't they? Huh? Exalt itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That's what the Spirit of man will do. He'll bring all things under the obedience of Christ. Rules, glory to God. Now, go back here and look at Galatians 5. How many is getting anything out of this tonight? All right, Galatians chapter 5, And let's look at something here I want you to see. I mentioned it to you over there in Romans 8, but the same thing applies right here. I told you that your spirit will not, the Holy Spirit, will not mortify the deeds of your flesh. You have to do that yourself, your spirit man, your reborn man. Listen to me? Okay, look, with that in mind, let's look here again at Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So he's talking to Christians here, and so he's telling the Christians to walk in the Spirit. Now, if you see the word Spirit there, it's got a capital S on it. That meant that the translators took liberty to imply to us that he was talking about the Holy Spirit. But he's not talking about the Holy Spirit. And I can prove that to you. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the what? And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. Now, if you read this like they're implying, you would say this. This I say then, walk in the Holy Ghost, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That sounds good, don't it? For the flesh lusteth against the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. The Holy Ghost don't lust against anything. The Holy Ghost don't war. The battle that's on is between your body and your spirit. And your computer's got to be renewed, your mind renewed. The go-between. And your body is sold out to sin, it's carnal. It's been trained that way. It's got to be retrained. And so, but once your spirit man, and once your spirit man is reborn, I'm telling you, you've got the nature of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. He's not talking about Holy Ghost. He's talking about the recreated human spirit. If you're led by Him, the voice of your spirit is your conscience. Your conscience is not a safeguard prior to the new birth. But after the new birth, you got God's nature in there. He is a safeguard. I tell people all the time, if you, I heard people say, well, God never talks to me. Well, yes, He does. You're just not listening. Most people want God to speak to them with an audible voice, and I don't ever seek that. If it happens, it happens. I had it once or twice in my life, and that's about it. It never happens again. Now, I've heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. We'll get into that when we talk about spirit and soul body. We'll talk about how to be led and all those things. But my conscience, I make most of my decisions based on two things, my conscience or my inward witness. And my inward witness is the voice, is my conscience speaking to me, is my spirit man speaking to me. If I look on the inside here, what's he saying down in here? And I say down in here, or out of your belly, your spirit, he talks about, but I don't know if it has to do with your physical belly, but just on the inside. I'm led by the Spirit. And then the inward witness says, His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. And I ask the Holy Ghost, you ever been around somebody and your spirit just didn't bear witness? Yeah. Or you ever been around somebody by the same token and turn that thing around and your spirit did bear witness to everything they were saying? Man, this thing is right. This is right. This, you know, you just know it in your knower on the inside. This is right. And then sometimes, though, I've been around others and it don't take me long. Because I tell you what, I get around you, man, my antenna's up. And I'll know. And I might not know everything about a person. And he's not putting there in there. I'm not talking about the gift of suspicion. Because there's no such gift. I'm talking about that in your spirit, He will bear witness whether something's right or wrong, positive or negative, good or bad. And I tell people, like I said, I tell people all the time, if you're having a hard time here, just follow your conscience. Paul said, I always maintain a good conscience before God and men. A good conscience before God and men. Now, you're not going to be able to get all of this and use this until you start developing that recreated human spirit. Because I had something happen last night that just shocked me. During the middle of the night, I woke up, I was having a dream, and I can't tell you what it was about. But all of a sudden, there was a short vision. A short one. And I saw my mama die. It was in a dream. Just like it was just all of a sudden tacked on to it or something. And just a short thing, I saw her in the bed die. And man, it just broke me right out of my sleep. And I'm sitting there and I am bawling. And I can't help it. I can't get it out of me. And I told Patsy, you know, she woke up. She said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I just dreamed Mama died." I said, "Call them. Tell them to go in and check on Mama." Well, before I had her call them, I was sitting there kind of concerned. And I took authority over death. I took authority over everything I could. I broke the power of the devil. I've learned not to ignore those things. You ignore those things, I tell you what, you die. You know? And so I took authority over that thing. Now you might say, "What now? What happened?" Pat called, and they went and checked on. Said she's just doing fine. Now the lady next door, and I come in and said "You're doing fine." I don't know, but when I got there and talked to her today, because I'm gonna go see her, I talked to her today. She said, "I had a hard time sleeping last night." Now you know, said, "Well, she's just tossing and turning." Even her roommate said that about her, and that could just be you ate something or what, you know what. There was no reason for my heart to be grieved like that. Well, my mom goes home. I mean, that's going to be a home going. You know, she's ready to go. But, you know, there's just some things that I hadn't said enough. You know, and my mom and I are closer than we've ever been right now at this moment. And so I got in and saw her this morning. I've never seen her so happy, so up, so strong. In a long time now. I mean, in a long time. Forget the walker. She's just walking across there, looking out there and kissing on me and all that, you know. And I said, "Mama," I told her Sunday, you know, she was talking about that, the medication they give her. She comes in here sometimes and then she sleeps and she doesn't feel like she looks her best and all that. And I said, "Mama, you're pretty to me." Boy, that's all it took. Amen. Boy, when her boys says that about her, that's it, isn't it? Where are we? Amen. We're in Galatians 5, aren't we? Where are we? What verse? 17. So he's talking about, he's got to be talking about the recreated human spirit, because the Holy Spirit doesn't lust. What does the Holy Spirit do? He convicts the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He will show us things to come. He will testify of me, Jesus said. That's what he's supposed to do, not to come and lust after the flesh. The battle is between the body and the spirit, but if you then, begin to develop that body. Train him by what? Practice. Everybody say practice. Practice. Well, I don't see practice in the Bible. Yes, you do. Hebrews 5:14. Strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use, Amplified, I think, says practice. Another translation says practice. Exercise. Have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Then after a while, you put an end to the war and your body rejects the evil. That's talking about, we're talking about now being sanctified in your body. Understanding that you're renewing your mind. And folks, it is a process. Now, time is flying from me, but let's just wrap it up like this and just talk the rest of it out of my spirit, okay? We talked about developing the Spirit. Well, if you're going to develop the Spirit, remember we said last week that God is what? God is Spirit. But God is love. Okay. Now, did you notice over there in the fruits of the Spirit? He said works of the body. All the body can do is work. Can't produce any fruit. The Spirit, though, the fruit of the Spirit, the first one is what?
Love.
So if the first one's love, it would make sense then that we got to spend time developing that one.
Yes, sir.
So we said last week then the first thing to do is to practice love and walk in faith. Now you'll notice also in 1 Corinthians 13:13 it says, "And now aboundeth faith, hope, and love." The greatest of these is what?
Love.
If love is the greatest thing, that would be the greatest thing we need to spend time developing. Yes. That's the fruit of the Spirit. If we develop our spirit to the point where it walks in love,
yes,
we are well on our way. Actually, love is the bond of perfectness, is that what it says? How does it say that? love. Practice love. And when you start, your flesh is going to resist. How many of you know that? Now, how do you suppose you would practice love? Find somebody you can't stand and practice on him. If all of y'all come around me and start loving on me, I'm just warning you ahead of time, don't even attempt this. Find somebody you can't stand, and he may live in your own house. Well, I hit home somewhere. Look at all these people. And practice. You're developing that spirit man. Now you're going to have to feed on the Word, because feeding on the Word is food for your spirit. Amen. You know, the Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. So you're going to have to feed on the Word for your spirit man to grow. Because a lot of folks are not even getting milk. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be hard for them to do this. But practice. Now, like I said, your flesh is going to rise up against you, and you're going to have to work at it. And God knows this. Don't get in condemnation about it. Okay. My wife would love to, because she just seems to be the standard to go by about who is in love and who is not. Because I correct the wrong, here it goes. Now, here it comes. Well, but. I've had to spend more time practicing on her than anybody else in my life when it comes to love. That is the truth. And if you go tell her, I will beat you up. Now, we're developing a spiritual force, aren't we? Uh-huh. Now, sometimes, it's just like, someone said, well, I tried that love stuff and I just can't do it. Yes, you can. You just need what? Practice. Heard a story about this guy. I can't cope with a story about this guy, this boy. One time he's playing baseball. Dad tried to teach you baseball. Well, you know, you grabbed a bat like this. You know, you got the hand here. Well, he grabbed it like that. And your dad just said, no, son, turn it around and hit it like this. Because you know that you can't swing properly. You know, you can't hit the ball, swing ball. He said, well, I can't hit it like that. Yes, you can. And besides that, this is the right way to do it. Yeah, but you see, we always did it this way. Where I went to church, we did it this way, you baby. We did it this way. We just don't know that's right. It don't make a difference what you think. There's a right way to do it, and love is the right way. Are you listening to me? So that boy just needs to practice. He just threw his bat. One time he couldn't hit the ball, threw his bat down. Well, it don't work. Well, now when you start this love stuff, you may strike out the first time. But don't quit. The only way you can fail in this thing is quit. If you struck out, just consider it practice. I'm still practicing. I remember when I was in school, we'd go out and we'd play ball sometimes. You know, just these other city towns would come in, you know, we'd play them. And then the coach would say, y'all guys need some more practice. Right? Smile, Pam. You're not at the beach, are you, Pam? Praise the Lord. A little humor. All right, see, we need practice, don't we? Everybody say practice.
Practice.
Practice love.
Practice love.
Practice love.
Practice love.
Practice love.
Practice love.
I'll give all of you an opportunity to love me, to practice on me tonight. Can you think of anybody you just can't stand? Practice. Love. And then sometimes it takes faith to do it. I mean, you're just loving people by faith, man. You're just using all the faith you can. So that means you're going to have to have some confession in there. And so if faith, hope, and love, the greatest of the great three, and the greatest is love, and faith is second, then it was, and those are fruits of the Spirit. It would make sense that you need to spend some time developing those two. You got to spend some time developing your love life and your faith life walk, right? And confess the word. I love you in the name of Jesus. Because the Bible says you have what you say.
That's right. Amen.
I love you in the name of Jesus. I love you in the name of Jesus. Now, don't get obnoxious with it right in their face. I'm just talking about, you know, because you can't do the opposite and turn them off. Rick loves me in the name of Jesus, don't he? You going to the beach this weekend? Is that where you're going? How often you go down to the beach? You even got a condo down there, don't you? You maybe once a year, my eyeball. What is that stuff you like to eat, Rick? Blood and shrimp and scallops and you can practice that, can't you, Rick? Huh? Look at him. By faith, he's got a smile on his face. That's a faith smile on there. Rick says, fake it till you make it. Amen. I said, I didn't get every one of you. But, you know, people are going to give you reason to get mad at them, aren't they? Always. But what does the spiritual man do? Once you get to it, you know, we're dead, aren't we? So you can't offend a dead man. Is that what they say? We're all working on this, aren't we? We've all struck out, haven't we? The game ain't over yet. We don't ever finish the game until we win. We just play until we win.
That's right.
They said Brother Hagin is the most aggravating thing you have ever seen. He likes to play games. And all the guys that are with him, you know, he makes them come to his room and they play games. And he makes them play until he wins. Nothing fair about it, is it? Well, God doesn't want us to be fair with on a playing level with the devil.
Amen.
He raised us up. Nothing fair about this thing. We just keep right on until we win.
Amen.
And we don't let condemnation come upon us.
Amen.
We don't accept that. Remember, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Who what? Who walk not after the flesh. You walk out the flesh, it's going to be all over you. And the devil, he's good at that. You didn't do like you ought to have done. You blew it again. And he's going to come with that condemnation, isn't he? And if you're not, if you don't understand who you are in that verse of Scripture, you're going to let it get on you. And then we got Christians putting condemnation on folks. Well, isn't that something? Have you ever seen anybody come to Christ, brand new Christian? How many of you know that things don't change overnight all the time? They're spirit man. How many of you know some of them come to God with habits? Right? Bad habits. I've heard of some of the guys that were doing all kinds of things. But they came to Christ and accepted Christ. Heard the word. When they got up off the altar, wherever they did, they were walking in all the spirit they knew.
That's right.
It takes time.
Amen.
We don't need to beat them over the head.
That's right.
And say they didn't really get anything.
Amen.
Because they still smoke. I tell you what, if your spirit man is born again and you just leave it to God and stay in the Word, after a while he'll tell you how to dress,
Amen.
What to eat,
Amen.
What to smoke, what not to smoke. You just let your spirit man deal with you. He'll straighten out all that stuff, won't he?
That's right.
We go out there and tell him, well, they didn't really get anything. Now who's the baby here? Huh? And we just get just as bad off as they are. And they're not bad off. They're right with God. There are people who come to Christ and they don't know any better. Now, once the word comes,
right.
We ought to receive and act on it, right?
Amen.
The truth comes to us. But we just figure God's practicing with them. He's the coach. The Holy Spirit's in there. He'll work it out. People come to Christ committing fornication, living with somebody. I've had this happen over and over and over. Boy, I tell you, I can just imagine what would happen to them. Was in the church I grew up in. Crucified both of them. Now, while they were sinners, we wouldn't crucify them. But when they become Christians, we hate them. Isn't that a baby? Huh? That's not what we have. All right, practice faith, practice love, walk in faith. Number two, meditate in the Word of God. We're talking about how to... The Word is food for our spirit. Remember, desire the sincere miracle of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If we're not growing, then there's no word, is it?
Amen.
Huh? How many of you are growing here?
Amen.
Do you get the word here?
Yes.
Huh? Have you grown since you come here? All right. Meditate in the Word. Now, with a baby, sometimes with babies, now babies are babies. Babies act like babies. With the baby, sometimes, you know, we start them out in the milk, you know, and then we advance a little bit and we do it a little different, you know, and grind it up and we got the mush or whatever. And how they can eat some of that stuff, I don't know, but, you know, it's food to them. And we try, the purpose of it is to get them to meat so they can grow up. You can't grow up on milk. You can't mature because he said strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, who by reason of use, strong meat. And so babies choke sometimes. You ever seen them gag? You put something a little solid in there, they comes right up. And so mama says they're not quite ready, so she gives them some of the stuff they can get down. And then tomorrow night she tries it again. They keep coming to the table. They keep coming to the table. They keep coming to the dinner table. Sooner or later, they'll get it down. And they won't choke. Now, here's what meditation does for you. Meditation will get you to the point where you won't choke on the Word.
Amen.
See, because what's meditation? I use this in your outline. I say it like this. It's like a cow chewing on a cud. You know, a cow put the stuff in him, and then he'll regurgitate and sit there and chew on it, 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 and chew on it. And keeps right on chewing it, and chewing it. Then after a while, he swallows it. Huh? See, I'm not telling you to meditate on the whole Bible at one time.
That's right.
Just take a piece of the Bible, and sometimes maybe just two or three scriptures.
That's right. Yeah.
Or maybe one scripture, and just spend 2 weeks meditating on one scripture.
Glory to
God. Find a scripture that covers your case.
Yes.
And just sit there and chew on it like a cow chewing its cud.
Yes.
And maybe the pastor preached something that just bent you out of shape. Then you just take the scriptures that cover that, you go home, and you just chew on it.
Mm-hmm.
Chew on it. I guarantee if you chew on it long enough,
right,
it'll go down.
Mm-hmm.
It'll go down.
Amen.
And so what are you doing? You're developing the reborn human spirit. He's growing. He's now taking a little solid food now. It's going down. And once you get that solid food, they're going to grow. Amen. First two steps now. He said, number one was practice love and walk in faith. Practice love, walk in faith. Number two step is what?
Meditate
in God's Word. Just good, solid teaching on developing the recreated human spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Let's all stand up. Hallelujah. And it appears to me, and I guess we have to face it, that in my life, that I'm just called to preach meat. I'm just not called to teach a lot of baby stuff. And a lot of babies can't take it here, and we understand that. But they're going to go somewhere and get the milk. After a while, they're going to want to taste the meat. And then whenever they get to the point where they want to taste the meat, they come here and we'll hook them. Right? I mean, you like a steak every now and then.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Walk in the Spirit, and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We'll talk more about this.
Yes.
Amen. Chewing on the cud. Chewing on the cud. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Let me make sure. It seems like there's just something else I need to say. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's raise our hands and thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercy. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Hagin always told us that spiritual things are developed by practice. Spiritual things. He talked about the gifts of the Spirit. All these things are just developed. Last night while I was laying in the bed, that's what he wanted to talk about. Thank you, Lord. Last night while I was laying in bed, I had taken authority over the devil, and I felt bad, you know. Now I took authority over the devil, and I guess a lot of it was just the thought of my mother. It was so clear, her dying, and I was just not ready for her to die. And I don't know what transpired. I just know what he said, and I'm not going to ignore it. And I took authority over the devil and did this and that, you know, and talked to my wife. And then in a few moments, I just began speaking psalms. And they rhymed. Just began speaking psalms. And I tell you, it just lifted my spirit right up. And I said, "Dear Lord, I have let that go so many times when I should be practicing that." You know, the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Speaking yourself in a psalm, an ode. You know, we've got a whole book of psalms there about it, but sometimes just speak it out of your spirit. David said, "I encourage myself in the Lord." You know, just go home sometime, look in the mirror, and just speak good things about yourself. But I remember in particular, just when I just, out of my spirit, man, not out of my head. I can't sit here and make up a rhyme. Not like that, but just out of my spirit, just letting it come out. And it just lifted me up. And just, everything's fine. Everything's all right. Praise the Lord. Got up and did what I had to do and got on into some mama. She's up, perky, you know, just scooting around. She's got a new roommate. Lord, I wonder if that woman gets a word in edgeways. Mama can talk. I said, "Does she talk much?" She said, "All the time." Never runs out of something to say. But you know what? It'll lift you up. You get around mama, she'll lift you up. Isn't she a blessing? Well, when she shows up at church Sunday, everybody go and tell her how much she's a blessing to you. And that'll, you bless her and she'll bless you, and amen. We'd like to get out of here to 6 o'clock in the afternoon, hadn't we? Praise the Lord. Brother Lindsay.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you.